Good
Hi,
morning,
Sasha.
Francis. Hi,
How many
how are
hours?
you?
I'm good. How
I'll
are
be on
you?
the plane. I love this delay. This is fun.
No.
I'll be on the plane at 8 a.m. tomorrow, so we're looking at 22.
Ah.
Yeah. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Sasha.
And Francis is on too.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi. Morning.
Good.
How are you guys?
Thank you.
Good.
You good?
I'm so good. I'm going to Miami tomorrow.
Yeah, Miami. That sounds awesome.
Warm, 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 warm weather.
Yay. I know you
Yay.
guys are really good at
Welcome, Brandy.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to answer you real quick, Nicole. Yeah, we've had a brutal winter, but it's supposed to be in the 50s this week, so that's Colorado.
Yeah, there you go.
And Francis
Nicole,
gets
is it
it
super?
worse.
Yeah. Is it super warm in California?
Today it's not, but we had a very, very mild winter. I mean, it's been getting up into the 70s and the 80s. It's crazy. But then at
That's what I
night it's been
heard.
getting cold. Yeah, we had like 2 weeks of maybe really cold weather, and cold for us is like 40 degrees. But
Yeah.
other than that, it's been warm. It's been really, really warm. A little scary because
Nice.
there's been no rain. I think we've had 2 days of rain the whole season. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for Jess and Olga.
Okay.
We can start. Did any of you guys have trouble logging on the first time?
I did.
I didn't.
Oh.
Welcome, Jess.
Hi, I'm sorry everyone, I'm late.
10 push-ups.
Yay.
No knees on the ground. I mean, 10
Yeah.
chaturangas. 10 chaturangas. What am I talking about? Okay. Well, Olga should be with us soon, but I want to honor the time. Welcome, Olga. We're just about to begin. As always, there's so much to fill this 90 minutes, and I'm going to get as much in as possible. So, that being said, who is our volunteer to ground us this morning?
I can volunteer. I don't think I've done this yet, Nicole.
Great. Thank you.
I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes and uncross your legs, and you can have your palms face up or down on your lap. And begin to take a deep breath in. And a smooth exhale out. Watch how the breath expands. On the inhale, the ribs move out to the side, the chest expands, there's a lift in the collarbone. And then as you exhale, a descending current down through the spine, shoulders are softening down towards the center of the earth. You feel that the feet are really grounded and rooted. And any sort of tension, any sort of anxiety that you might have this morning, imagine that releasing down through your legs into the center of the earth. And then bringing up through the center of the earth, up through the legs, a very clear white light. And bring that white light from the center of your pelvis up through your spine, through the crown of the head, connecting you to higher divine consciousness. And then just observe your breath supporting your whole body with clarity, with intention, with positivity. And then for a moment, just feeling that power and strength in the core of your body. And allowing all of your body to be open and free and liberated for our work today. And then just take two more deep breaths, just enjoying that feeling of centeredness. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thanks, Nicole. I'm ready to practice now on my mat. I mean, practice with you guys. Right. There we go. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So just a few things before we go around the circle or around the country. To share what your week has been like. Thank you, everyone, for getting back to me and being open to extending our program 1 week. I really did not want to miss a week, but I think it's going to be too much for me, and I just want to give you my undivided attention and not be scattered. So I think it's in everyone's best interest to just skip a week. So I'm glad everyone is available on April 1st. I did send you the updated Coach the Coach form. Hopefully everyone received that, but nothing is changing. I just added on a week there. I just changed the week, so just be sure that you look at the week and know the date that you're on, and if I messed up because I did not cross-reference it to a couple people, I think just Brandy and Jess, who told me they're going to be gone. I didn't cross-reference it with that. So if there's a conflict, just reach back out to me solely, and I'll make that change. So just double-check that when we're done with the call, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So those were only my only two housekeeping items, and thank you, you guys, for being open to doing that. Let's go around the country. I like that now. I've never said that before. I'm going to use that. Let's go around the country and talk about one win, one challenge, so a personal challenge, not an action challenge. And then this marks week 6, so I just want to check in with how you're feeling halfway through this program, if there's anything that you want to share. So whoever wants to go first, please feel free. Did anyone have any experiences this week?
Hi, this is Nicole. I'll go. My challenge is also my win. My challenge has been my physical limitation. I have been suffering from a back injury, but it's also been my win in that I've discovered using the information that you sent over, actually, Sasha, so I wanted to say thank you, is a David Kruger quote, and it was that our obstacle has a shadow story of desire. And I used that quote all week to figure out what the back injury was actually really about, and it was really a fascinating exploration. In fact, I videotaped a couple of like little tiny video blogs about it to share with people because I thought that quote was so powerful because my obstacle has been that I'm too busy and like I run around like a crazy person and I know this about myself, but what's the really undercurrent of all of it? And the back injury was my message, you know, that it's not just that I'm too busy, I'm not self-nurturing, but also even under that, there's a lot of emotion, and I won't get into all of it, but it's been a real blessing to be able to work with the coaching materials as well as the injury, which was the challenge, but then an extreme win for self-exploration.
That's so cool. I'm glad the information resonated. And how are you feeling halfway through our program?
I'm loving it. I love it more and more. It's just starting to make sense. And I'm kind of using it in my daily interactions with people a bit more, trying to get more interested in what people are saying, and asking more potent questions. I'm a listener, and I'm not generally a question asker, if that's even a word. I'm not as inquisitive as I think I would like to be, and so it's been good for me. It's been really good for me, and I see how it can connect me at a deeper level with people, so I'm really appreciating it.
Great. Thanks for sharing. And if I can just clarify the second piece of this, how are you feeling through the halfway mark, or how is this work impacting you, 6 weeks into the program? So whatever lens you want to look through and share is great. Who's next?
This is Frances. I'll share.
Sorry, Frances, you cut out in the beginning. Do you mind starting again?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. So my win for this week actually happened yesterday. I did a practice coaching call. It was my first time actually practice coaching, I guess, with a friend of mine, and it went really well. And she wanted to continue for the next few weeks. So we kind of set a time every week to meet up for a little bit and have a session. So that's kind of exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And my challenge, I guess, has just been monitoring my energy level lately. So just everything physically, mentally, emotionally, just kind of monitoring that a little bit better. And halfway through this program, it's opened so many doors for me, which is exactly what I was seeking when we first started. So it's been what I've wanted and more. So it's been really awesome.
That's wonderful. When are you going to start charging your friend for your coaching sessions?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Probably never.
All right. Probably never. How never? Never worked for you? Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Frances.
Yeah.
Who would like to go next?
Hello, this is Olga. I'll go next.
Olga, are you doing okay? You sound like, are you okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm just low in energy from just a very full week. I had a presentation early this morning, so for my business, and it went really well. So that was actually my win. But I get anxious before a presentation, and I didn't sleep very good last night or the night before. So maybe energetically, I'm just physically tired. Yeah. So maybe I sound that way. So thank you for noticing. So my win for the week was this presentation that I had to give this morning on insurance, and it really it went well. I had great questions. I was able to respond. People said that I spoke with confidence. And I've also been subbing for a regular class on Monday nights. And, then I do the coaching, today, on Tuesdays. And I have my client on Wednesday nights for, now it's in April, it's going to be a year. She renewed with me again. So that's been, fantastic. And then I have a friend that I practice coaching with on Thursdays. And because we graduated together, and we were like, I don't know if whether or not I can do this or not, and that was part of the reason why I took this class, was to gain you know, that confidence and feel comfortable. And so this was another stepping stone to build on that confidence. And so I'm really grateful that this came up and that I could see the connection with yoga as well. And so I'm very happy to be part of that. So I said a lot. So yes, it's been a challenging week because trying to fit everything in.
Great. Well, I hope that you're inviting in some self-care so that you can rest and take care of yourself. And congratulations on, I'm sure you gave a powerful presentation this morning. So thank you. Jess or Brandy, just a couple minutes here because I want to get into the material. So
this is Jess. I'll go.
Okay.
My win this week is that I led my first Reiki circle on Saturday, and we had seven students show up, which was really exciting. And one of those students bought a 10-pack of Reiki sessions afterwards, so that was really cool because one of my 30-day goals was to secure another long-term Reiki or yoga client. And then doing the circle was part of preparing for the training, which are the attunements level 1 and 2, which I'm going to lead in April, which are part of my 90-day goals. So I looked back on those on Sunday after all this happened on Saturday, and I was like, yay. And nice. That felt really good because when I wrote those goals, especially the 90-day ones, they felt pretty out of reach, and now they feel like they're just right around the corner. And my challenge has been really just nurturing and honoring my body. And I guess more than that, it's been about respecting my body even when it craves things other than my ego wants. So I've been really just doing yin and restoratives almost every day and only a more challenging class or strengthening class once a day. And that strengthening class has been really confronting because my body's different. It's been different these last few weeks. It's a little softer, a little more feminine, a little more abundant. And on one hand, I love that. On the other hand, my ego resists it. So just trying to be patient with myself as I process whatever I need to process and my body takes the shape it needs to take.
Mm. And how are you feeling halfway through this program, or how is it impacting you?
I'm feeling so inspired. I feel like it's changing my communication on a very deep level, even the way that I text my friends and my colleagues and my family. I just operate differently. And I think in the last 2 weeks, the material has just totally expanded. It was obviously deep and important in the beginning, but I think the last 2 weeks I've been rereading passages and just having more time to sit with it, and it's really profound. And I've been talking with one of my friends about an idea of doing executive coaching, taking my business background and my desire to coach and doing mindful executive coaching. And it's just something percolating in the back of my mind.
That is tremendous. That's awesome. Congratulations on the Reiki circle. And I'm really glad that you're feeling like the SMART goals are, you know, helping to keep you in action. And also, when you come to Boulder, come take my Yin class. Because you'll love it. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right. More Yin. Everybody on the planet needs Yin.
Yes, yes.
That's a lot of people. Okay. I have to get a bigger studio. Brandy, what's up for you? All the way in another country.
Yes. Could you hear me?
Yes, I can. We can. I can.
Okay, great. Yeah. So here it's minus 17. It's absolutely freezing cold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Really, really cold in Montreal. Regarding winds, it was my littlest child's birthday. So he had a big celebration. So that was a win that went off, and he had the best birthday ever. And then personally, challenges, just feeling an immense sense of sadness inside and sitting with it, you know, not really knowing exactly what to do with it, but letting it sit with me strongly and trying to soften into that experience and allowing it to just be very much where it needs to be right now. So it's just a bit of a challenge, but at the same time, I know it's maybe moving towards a transformation of some sort. And then how does it feel to be in this 6 weeks in? It feels good. I enjoy reading the material, and I also enjoy that newfound ability to maybe, you know, be in better communication with my clients and with friends, just using that ability to be more inquisitive with our questions. And yeah, it's been interesting. Yeah, it's been nice. That's it.
Thank you, Brandy. And I just want to acknowledge your courage to sit with whatever you're feeling. I know you have a strong meditation practice, and you just got back from a training or a retreat, and sometimes it's just the most challenging thing to do is to do nothing and let it show up in the time and the way that it's supposed to. So whatever you're dealing with, I trust that you'll listen for the answers.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, thanks everyone. I'm really glad to hear that this program is impacting all of you in a positive way. And I just want to acknowledge all of you for showing up in your full authenticity. It really creates such a intimate and powerful collaboration within this group. And I think it impacts our learning on a huge level. So just know that each of you showing up every week, just exactly as you are, is making this program and this group dynamic special and important and powerful. So I just wanted to thank all of you. All right, let's turn to the material, and we're going to begin on page 99 to review the piece that we're going to dive into a little bit more today, shifting the perspective, inviting your client to shift the perspective. So let's see. Francis, would you read just that one long paragraph that begins with "this model works as"?
Yeah. This model works as a process for achieving goals because it catalyzes change. Once an agenda is clear and one or more coaching interventions have been explored, the coach invites the client to shift or move beyond the stuck place and towards possibility thinking. The shift must occur in the client, not dictated by the coach. It is counterproductive to lock onto a solution and push for it before the client is ready. Hijacking the client's agenda will usually fail because there is no impetus from the client. Clients need to see and experience from their own perspective before they can proceed on their own path.
And then just go ahead and finish that last little paragraph, please.
Okay. The mentor coach invites the client to look at a problem in a new way or encourages possibility thinking. The shift invitation may come in the form of a challenge, a nudge, a suggestion, a new perspective, or simply questioning how the client's thinking led to his or her conclusion.
Great. So this is just a review of what we went over a couple weeks ago, but just sort of highlighting this third tool in the simple coaching model. Francis, it can be you or it can be anyone else. Can you share an experience in the yoga room on the mat? What's possible with a student when you invite them to shift the perspective? Like, what's an example of something that you've used in the past to help a client move forward in their practice, or simply, you know, what do you think? How could this show up as a tool for you to use in the future?
I guess one way that comes into mind, and this was from years ago, there was an instructor who taught in the Springs where I used to teach, and she had really tight hamstrings, and so that was kind of her limiting belief, I guess. She would always say, "I have tight hamstrings, I have tight hamstrings." But one day her perspective shifted from a class that we all took, and instead of telling herself that she had tight hamstrings, she started saying that she has challenging hamstrings, or she has a challenge with them. And so she began working from that space, and it changed her practice completely. I mean, she started using a block for a lot of things, and I don't know, it just, you could tell that it had shifted her practice on her mat just by changing her way of thinking.
Right. And can you guys see that? I mean, I think, I can't speak for all of you, but have you had that experience yourself when you sort of shift the lens that you look through, whether you're changing the language or changing the perspective, that things have a way of changing? Has anyone had a personal experience with that on their mat?
This is Jess. Yes. I have a challenge with inversions and arm balances. And about 2 years ago, after my first teacher training, or maybe it's a little longer than that, I just shifted my perspective instead of thinking about the pose and why I can't do the pose and why other people can do the pose and what's wrong with me, to just being like, oh, this is something I'm just going to do a little bit every day and maybe in this lifetime and maybe not. And it's funny how when I'm not even planning on really thinking about my inversions or doing an arm balance, then poses that used to be inaccessible now are like, oh, I just find like a new doorway into it because I'm not really worried about the outcome.
Hmm. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing. So just a couple of things to remember about this this tool on shifting the perspective is that we as coaches are creating an opportunity to invite our clients to shift their perspective. And so we use the tools of powerful questions, of listening, of brainstorming, or when we have that aha moment, it's really important to not force or rush the client to shift. It has to come, like Francis just read, the impetus has to come from the client. It's actually a new coach's mistake if you force or rush that shift too soon. They need to, we as coaches want to empower them to discover it on their own rather than us pounding it out. I just want to make sure that that piece is really clear, because sometimes, you know, we'll get it and we'll understand and we might try to impose that on our clients because we want them to see that too. But it's really important, and again, it's just building this coaching muscle and trusting that the client is going to get there by us creating the environment, the opportunity with the language we use, with the questions we ask, with the support that we give, that our clients will come to that on their own. Any questions on that piece? Okay, great. So using that as moving towards the next section, let's turn to page 137. And I'll get into the book, the manual piece in a minute, but there are two basic questions and motivations that everyone has. The first one is to avoid pain, so that's known as aversion. And the second one is to seek pleasure, which is known as craving. And so if any of you have any background in any Buddhist or Hindu teachings, you know that this is aligned. But that being set aside, those are the two ways that we show up, right? So on the flip side of every obstacle is a desire. So if your client is constantly showing up, in number one, to avoid pain, aversion, that they create these obstacles. And a little bit about what Nicole was talking about with that article, obstacles and desires. This is exactly what he was talking about here. On the flip side of every obstacle is a desire. And as mentor coaches, we use the tools to uncover that desire. So again, by working in this process and understanding it, we create the opportunity. And then we invite the shift, keeping in mind the entire time that it's our job as coaches to hold the client's agenda. No hijacking involved. Okay? So with that being said, page 137 in our book, what I'd like to do for this next section and this next, you know, a good chunk of our time together in the next half an hour is these are some considerations. Actually, let me have Brandy, would you read the third paragraph, just that big paragraph, while a basic technique?
Yeah, while while?
Yes, correct.
While a basic technique of coaching is asking powerful questions and listening deeply together for the answers, coaches apply different interventions, but a technique shouldn't become a rule. The principle is what is needed to further the client's objective and enable forward movement. Another principle, listen to your gut and pay attention to your hunches about your clients. Common sense will inform the application of your intuition. Clients need more than just questions, especially when they're in new territory without a map. In addition to powerful questions, there are several things in our repertoire of possibilities that we do in addition to asking powerful questions. The following are considerations.
Perfect. And so what we're going to, any questions on that piece? There's a lot in there, but we'll go into it more as we come into some of these specific considerations. What I highlighted here is right in the middle of the paragraph. What is needed to further the client's objective and what is needed to further the client's objective and enable forward movement? That is basically keeping their agenda number one. Okay? Another principle, listen to your gut and pay attention to your hunches about your clients. So we talked a little bit in past calls about using your intuition. Having permission to interrupt when you have an aha moment and just checking in to see if it resonates or lands with your client. And we've talked all along about listening and powerful questions, but today we're going to just take it into a little bit more specific. And so there are a bunch of things listed here. And on between pages 137 and 139, and then one more on 140. So I'm going to ask each of you to pick one that resonates with you. And I want you to describe to us how you understand it and how you would apply it to yoga. Who wants to go first? Are my instructions clear? Did everyone leave?
No. I think we're probably all reading.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to get a chance, so it doesn't matter who goes first. It's not meant to put anyone on the spot. We're all in a learning curve here. These are just some suggestions. And together, just know this is a collaborative experience within our group to help deepen our learning, to deepen our understanding so we can be more powerful with our clients. So I think the easiest place to show us, summarize this or give an example is where we know what we know, which is on the yoga mat.
I go. It's Brandy.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll take summarize.
And, summarize. Let's see if I can find that on page 138, middle of the page. Okay. Read that and how you understand it and how you apply it to yoga.
Okay. I'll read it. Summarize. When clients hear their words and concepts reflect back to them and summarize from the coach, they do not only feel heard, but they feel validated. There are some effective ways of doing this. Weave their words and phrases into responses. Repeat back exactly what was said. Paraphrase what the client said. Summarizes, validate that you have understood your client, and it helps them to synthesize an overview of something they may have been too close to that disallowed seeing the big picture. So the way that I could reflect this is that if someone is going into a pose, and there's on the yoga mat, and they feel either, you know, a sense of fear, and then, you know, I will pause and ask them and ask, you know, fully what is happening behind, you know, this fear base of going into this pose, whatever the pose may be. And so just really taking that time to fully hear them and then repeat what their fear is and validate that I understand that there is a fear regarding this pose for them because of maybe past experiences. So just, you know, letting them be heard and letting them know that I heard them and I validate there is a fear at the moment and that I respect it.
Is that something that you have done in the past?
Have I had that experience? Many times, yeah.
Okay, great. And what, can you just give one example of what the result was of using this tool?
They're building confidence, that I took the time to, you know, confidence from the student, that I took the time to really hear them and to respect their experience.
Mm.
And then them building confidence in me is taking the time to hear what needed to be heard and what needed to be validated, what needed to be respected in their bodies and their experience.
That is a beautiful example, Brandy. Thank you. It's exactly what this section speaks to. And I can totally see you being able to take that same tool and use it with your clients. Off the mat. Who would like to go next? Just pick one of these that resonates with you. Read it and a little bit of sharing.
This is Olga. I'll go next.
What
resonated with me was brainstorm. You have a wealth of experience and ideas that can further discussions of everything from business and marketing to people, skills, and human dynamics. And on the mat, my experience, I think I brought this up in one of the past sessions, was having a client that was paralyzed, one side of his body from an automobile accident. So we met once a week. And it seemed like his needs were different from week to week. His needs one week would have been maybe just pranayama, mostly, you know, for the hour that we spent together. The following week might have been strengthening. So it was, I left it open to him to, you know, for all the possibilities that we could work on depending on what his needs were for the week. You know, sometimes he was down and he, you know, he was sad because of his situation. And so we might have had more spiritual practice, you know, starting with a pranayama. Sometimes he felt strong and very positive. And so, you know, we worked differently. So that's how I connected it with brainstorming.
That's great. And brainstorming is such a valuable tool to work with your clients off the mat as well in the same regard. Again, just when someone comes to you, whether it's in their practice of yoga or in their practice of their life and they're not sure and they don't have a clear agenda, because oftentimes they won't, but within the first 2 or 3 minutes, you'll get a sense of identifying that agenda. But brainstorming is just a really engaging tool to use to sort of distill through and filter through a lot of language and stories to come down to what's really important to the client. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Olga.
Thank
Who's
you.
Next? You're welcome.
Hi, this is Nicole. I'll go next.
Okay.
I'll pick a reframe. I think probably it's similar to Brandy and maybe what Jeff said earlier, but reframing, I think,
Nicole,
is quite...
Nicole, can I hold you for a second?
Sure.
Would you go ahead and read that section, please?
Oh, yes. Sure. Reframe.
Thank you.
A reframe is when the coach offers the client a new perspective by changing the original viewpoint. changing the words to become more empowering and positive, or simply placing the client's behavior or words in a different context.
Okay.
I think when we're teaching students arm balances and inversions, which is what Jess was talking about earlier, which I think is a great example, a lot of people come with fear, and a lot of people come with, I can't, there's no way I can, no way, you know, and there's all these restrictions and disallowing and just a general sense of disempowerment, I think. And when a teacher breaks down a pose into pieces, then it allows a client to see it from a new perspective and take it piece by piece like a puzzle. So, and I know we probably all teach that too. And so then you see your client that maybe said, I'll never do a handstand, or there's no way, I'm not strong enough. And if you can just show them and also summarize too what it is that they're saying, usually I'll say, well, instead of saying I can't or I never will, how about we try just this part, which if you practice that a few times, you might get then part two and then part three and then part four, and that might be upside down. And so I think we probably all as teachers use reframing in our classes.
I would have to agree. I can't speak for everyone, but what's fascinating about some of these pieces is that we already use them in our lives. We already use them in our teaching, and we're already filled with tons of experience and wisdom to be able to draw on these tools and our experiences to help our students and help our clients. So that's a great example. Thank you. And since fear came up a couple of times in your examples, it's really fascinating to me that when you get stuck, when you get to the point where the client is shifting their perspective, it's almost like a fear of the next step. So they've had this moment, right? Now, like they've named it, and now what's next? And typically what you find that comes up, and I see this in yoga all the time, is then the limiting beliefs start coming up. Insecurities, I'm not good enough, you know, talking about that whole confidence piece. So I really, really like the way that you explain to break it down into small bite-sized chunks, because if it's too big, it's not going to be manageable, and they won't even take their first baby step because it's too big. They're like, their limiting beliefs and their stories are going to get right in the way of them moving forward with their agenda. So fear is a big one. Does that make sense to everyone? Because once they name it and they have shifted their perspective, it's like, what's next, right? What's the next step? She'll be back. So yeah, a lot of fear can come up. But thank you for sharing. I thought that was a big one, so I wanted to name that. Okay, so who hasn't gone? Jess?
Yes, I will focus on endorse.
Endorse. So she's on page 137. Okay. Would you read that, please?
Yes. Endorse your client's concepts and ideas when they are self-supportive and when you want to highlight your client's wisdom and creativity. This acknowledgement empowers them and reinforces their behavior. One of the roles of a coach is to be advocate and at times cheerlead. The client will benefit from celebrating small victories with you. These affirmations are internalized to become a part of the self-regulation and self-function of the client. Acknowledge insights, reflection on difficult circumstances, as well as steps of progress are all important to highlight and affirm.
Okay.
So I love this one. I feel like I'm doing this all the time.
Welcome back, Frances. Go ahead, Jess.
So it just feels good to help other people realize how far they've come. I think we tend to magnify the so-called bad and minimize the so-called good. And instead of just seeing things as steps, I know that I do that. So one of my private clients has a lot of sciatica and lower back issues. And from day one, we've just been working on the placement of her feet. She tends to externally rotate her legs and her feet point out. And so neutral rotation of the thigh bone, but really with the focus on toes pointing straight ahead and outer edges of the feet being parallel. So now whenever I see her do that in any of the poses that are neutral poses, I cheerlead or I acknowledge. And this particular private client has a lot of fear and a lot of insecurities. And so continually just telling her, you know, you couldn't even really hold down dog for more than a few breaths. And now you're holding down dog comfortably for like 3 minutes. It's amazing. So I love doing that because it helps them feel really good and gets them excited to keep doing more.
That's fantastic. That's great. And can you see yourself using this tool to work with your clients?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about this tool. And I think my biggest fear, actually, is that I will cheerlead too much and not ask enough difficult questions. So that's just a balance I'll have to find. But, yeah, I can definitely see using this with my clients.
I'm going to ask you a life coaching question, okay?
Okay.
How will you know when you're cheerleading too much?
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll have to sense into the client's response and see if they are feeling antsy or ready to take on more challenge. Or if they are kind of skirting the issue, if I feel like we're not going deep enough.
Great. And would you feel comfortable simply asking them?
Asking them, is there too much cheerleading?
If they're feeling, oh, not necessarily that. I wouldn't say that. But is this enough of a challenge for you? Or where do you want to feel challenged more? So you can sort of get a sense without bringing attention to what you feel you may be doing too much or too little of.
Mm. I love that. Is this enough of a challenge for you? That's perfect.
I won't charge you extra for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Frances, I know you tried to get out of this piece, girl. But come on. Fun. You're next.
Mine was Story Best. That wasn't Jess's, right? Hers was...
No. Page 139, okay. About 3/4 of the way down. Okay.
So question or challenge automatic habitual behavior or limiting assumptions, especially when there is evidence it doesn't work. Often these limiting beliefs are outside conscious awareness. I don't know if this really matches, but what it made me think of was in yoga, oftentimes when we have our students pause, So especially in hot yoga, when you have standing shavasanas in between each posture, there's a lot of fidgeting that happens, and it's just really natural. I mean, I do it all the time when I practice. You fix your hair, you fix your clothes, whatever it is. We're just used to doing it at certain times in our practice. And so just having that brought to recognition or bringing awareness to that is, I don't know, it just kind of, it sheds a new light on finding that space of stillness. And, you know, it, as a student practicing it, you realize how much of a challenge it really is to be still because there's so many little reactions that our mind tells us to do. And we react to it without even thinking about it. So it is habitual behavior. But just having someone shed light on it, it's like it brings a whole other awareness to our practice.
Absolutely, and I can totally relate to that. Has there been a time where you have made your students aware of this and then there's been a shift?
I've definitely made my students aware of it in classes before. No one's ever come up to me and said that there's been a shift, but I know as a student practicing, women instructors have brought that to my awareness. Like, it's definitely shifted my concentration and just, made me more aware of what I'm doing with my hands. So.
Cool. That's great. Thank you for sharing. So you can see there are so many more that we didn't have time to highlight individually, but this is a great section of ways to work with your client to help them to shift their perspective outside of what we've already been honing in on, which are powerful questions, brainstorming, intuition, and listening, deep listening. Any questions on this piece right here, the coaching interaction, inviting your client to shift the perspective? Okay, great. So again, just as a to reiterate, this is all coming from a place of possibility thinking, right? This whole idea of collaboration between coach and client is to help shift from problem solving to possibility thinking and creating that kind of mindset and energy with your clients. And sometimes another fear that can come out is, what happens if it doesn't work out? So would someone like to tackle maybe some tools that you would use if the client came back to you with, so you've shifted the perspective, you're trying to work into some baby steps going forward, and then their fear, their limiting beliefs come up, and, you know, what if this question comes up? What happens if it doesn't work out? What might be an example of what a coach could say to that question?
Hi, Sasha. This is Nicole. This actually came up for me recently when I met with a friend of mine, and I talked to Francis about it over the weekend. I was kind of coaching her, and I wasn't exactly completely clear that I was coaching her. I was kind of under the radar coaching her, which I guess isn't really coaching because then our agenda was not clarified. So it was interesting that came up completely because I started going down this road asking really powerful questions, and then she stopped me, and she said, Nicole, I'm just not comfortable going here emotionally with you right now. And I went, oh, okay. And I heard what she said because I could hear the emotion underneath it. And she was actually giving me a service, which is ironic. We're trading. And so she was giving me a facial. So I didn't want to have her crying on the table while she was giving me a facial. But I heard that. I really heard it. And I thought, okay, this is going beyond a boundary that she's comfortable with right now. So I said, thank you for being honest. And I said, so is there anything else, you know, because she was talking about a business idea, but it got involved with her father, and it's a business with her father, and I could tell what was not working was the relationship with her father. It had nothing to do with the business. So then I quickly actually redirected the conversation to, well, tell me about the business that you're doing aside from your father. Tell me what else you're doing and how you've been working with this, you know, separately. And so then she was able to kind of look at it and go, oh, and then she actually started talking right away about how she was applying her business skills towards something else. And it was a reframe, I guess, and it was possibly thinking she didn't, it would have been a place I would have gone to if I were actually coaching her properly. But it was interesting. You know, it was definitely a block, and I was a little bit put back by it, but then I just, you know, I reframed. I just said, well, aside from that, can you tell me something that you are doing that's really positive? And she was able to get out of it. So I don't know if that's a good example because it's a little bit like under the radar coaching, but she was a friend.
That might be a new industry that's going to evolve. Under the radar coaching. That's what I do.
Yeah. She's a friend.
No, I think it's a great example. You know, I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, if they're available for the conversation, but they're just a little bit fearful. So it sounds to me like she just didn't want to go to that conversation with you. But I was, maybe I should be clear, you know, if your client says to you, okay, I get it, I understand, but what happens if this piece doesn't work out? What happens if I decide to do this and it doesn't work out? You know, what do you hear in that? There's a fear, there's limiting beliefs, there are stories. So as a coach, you know, when you're developing the safety and trust in deepening the collaborative alliance, which is something that is part of our discussion today, this is part of it, what would be a way that you could ask a question to get them to sort of shift that limiting belief? And nothing is right or wrong. Just within our group context, we're just brainstorming here.
This is just, if the client were to say, well, what happens if this doesn't work out, then maybe I could say, well, what will happen if you don't do anything?
Right.
Maybe that's too pointed.
Right. Or, yeah, I want to hear some other suggestions, too. What other questions could you ask to elicit a different response from your client?
This is Frances. You could always ask them what would happen if it does work out and start brainstorming into that space.
Mm-hmm. Great. I love that. So that's just a shift to a positive spin, you know, creating that positive energy for them. That's great. What else?
This is Olga. I was just thinking something around what is possible if it were to be concrete, you know, that whatever it is that's coming up that there's fear around. So put yourself in the situation, yeah, where it does work out. How does it feel?
Exactly. How about this one? What's the fear? You just take your client to a different place. What's the fear? What's the resistance? If fear is too big of a word, if it connotates too much emotion, what's the resistance? And just think about the tools that you already use when you find yourself leading a yoga practice with your students. And they're constantly going into that place of fear or resistance, whether it's inversions, whatever it happens to be. So actually taking the light and shining it into the dark places and not, as coaches, being fearful of going there, but asking in a trusting and safe environment where the client knows that they can that you're taking care of their needs first and you're supportive and it's safe. So you can turn the light a little bit into the darkness to shine on what's holding them back. And again, it's all in an effort to create forward momentum. What's holding them back? Why are they, not why, I don't like that word, what's keeping them stuck? Okay, so use your intuition, avoid judgment, continue. I love all the examples that every one of you gave was a powerful question. Like, none of those was a closed-ended question. So really want to acknowledge that. And there are no right or wrongs. There's no right or wrong. I'm having trouble talking today. It's too cold. So, all right, any other questions on this little discussion? Okay. All right, well, we're at the top of the hour. So before we get into our coach the coach, where Olga will be coaching Brandy and Jess as the primary observer, would someone volunteer to name the five steps of the simple coaching model?
This is Olga. I'll go ahead and do it.
Thank you.
Specify the client's agenda. Determine useful intervention moments. Shift the perspective. Frame the session and follow up.
Great. So we'll be looking for all of those in the session today, and especially highlighting and listening for the piece that we worked on, shifting the client's perspective. So if everyone but Olga and Brandy would go on mute, watch your time, ladies, 15 minutes, and then we'll all come back on. So have a great session.
Hello?
Hi, Olga.
Hi, Brandy. How are you today?
I'm okay. I've been better, but I'm okay.
Okay. And what would you like to work in our session today?
Feeling just really, really stuck and sad, and wanting to work on maybe getting clearer of how to move forward.
So I'm understanding that you're feeling stuck and sad, like maybe discouraged or heavy-hearted?
Yeah, feeling really, really, really heavy-hearted, exactly. That's a great great place, exactly how I'm feeling. A lot of heavy-hearted around my marriage of 21 years that I'm really unhappy in, and feeling really sad and not sure of how to move forward with or if I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, really heavy-hearted and sad and disconnected and everything that comes along with that disappointment.
Mm. And where, I know that in earlier you had mentioned that you want to sit with this, but what are you needing around this? It's feeling of sadness and heavy-heartedness.
What am I needing at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
I think probably maybe a bit of direction of where it's moving. And more just, I guess, support for the two of us to figure out where if it's moving together or apart, and getting support probably from someone from the outside to help us figure, to help us maybe move that along. And
okay. So you're looking for the possibility of maybe getting support from the outside for both of you? Or just for yourself?
Not for myself. I don't think I really need support for myself at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I need support in just, you know, maybe defining the direction.
Just finding direction.
Yeah, no, direction of, you know, whether it's we're moving forward as a couple or not.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that second part that you said.
I said, move it. I don't feel I need maybe support really for myself at the moment, but I need support as for us together to figure out which direction will be best for us to move into.
Okay. So, may you be needing connection with your husband around this?
Yeah.
Like a shared reality as to what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, you know, sharing and hearing from each other in a safe environment. Yeah, Yeah, because we're not able to communicate without, you know, a third party probably.
So you're looking for a way to do this together, just the two of you?
No.
Right. No, you want a third party.
Mediating, yeah, with a third party, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know. I guess.
Well, let's, would you like to maybe brainstorm around this as to the, you know, the possibilities that may exist for you around all these feelings that are coming up and, you know, the sadness that you feel and how you can bring this up to your husband as to what's going on with you and whether or not the two of you can agree in seeing, you know, a mediator, a counselor. Would you like to look at some possibilities? You know, what do you think? How would you want to see yourself? Sharing just with your husband,
Yeah, I think that I did write a letter to his therapist this morning, and hopefully we'll initiate, and I'll write an email to him to initiate a meeting for the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to eliminate my sadness. Now I don't know. I think maybe I just have to be in a place with being okay with feeling really sad. I don't know.
So you want to eliminate your sadness, and is that what I'm hearing, or do you want to kind of sit with it for a while and see what's underneath the sadness?
I think that I'm uncertain. I'm uncertain. It's like I just feel that, and I just don't know. I don't think it's, you know, something that I could really eliminate. I just think it's the reality of where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. And where in your body do you feel the sadness?
Exactly what you said, in my heart. Like really.
Where in your body do you feel the sadness?
In my chest.
In your chest. And does it have a color? Is it open space? Is it dense?
I think that it's open. It's not closed.
Mm-hmm.
That open space. It doesn't feel limited. It feels very big.
Mm-hmm.
Red. And there's no color attached to it.
Mm-hmm. And how heavy is it?
Very.
Very. How big?
Very heavy. It's heavy. It's a bit immobilizing.
Mm-hmm.
Immobilizing my body.
How is this serving you, holding on to this heaviness in the middle of your chest that's immobilizing you?
It's making me look for an opportunity to make a shift and make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Asking me, yeah, to maybe really look towards, you know, a different possibility that I'm not seeing clearly.
Okay. So from sitting in this heaviness and this tightness of the chest, You're also seeing an opening, a possibility, a hope of maybe things changing. So you want to create a change, and that's why you reached out by sending a letter to the therapist this morning.
You know, it's when I hear you say that I want to create a change, it like sends me a reinforcement almost, because I don't even believe that I'm able to make a change.
Okay, so you don't believe that you're able to make a change. But then I also heard that there is hope to make a change.
So the hope's not big enough for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of hope. I don't see a lot
okay.
of hope. I don't.
I know that because of our time together today, we only have like about 4 minutes. And if I were to have, you know, meet with you next week over the phone, and I'd like to request for you to keep on observing what's coming up as far as the possibilities and the hope, because there's a movement that you made this morning, and there's something underneath that, and being able to share that with me next week, and we can discover, you know, what's going on, you know, at a different level, if we can possibly do that together. And I know that you have a deep meditation practice, and maybe sit in meditation for, you know, a couple of minutes a day and see what arises. And maybe journaling afterwards. Would you be able to take the time to do that this week and sharing that with me next week?
You know, the meditation I do every day, so that's something that I do. And I could get back to you about, you know, looking at possibility of, you know, maybe the word hope of what is possible in that
mm-hmm.
word and in that movement of change.
Yeah. And how would journaling be something that you would consider? How do you feel about journaling around this feeling? Of heavy-heartedness.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I often like journal and just write every day a little bit of this and that, but I mean, you want me to specifically journal about feeling heavy-hearted every day? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. You can try it. Only allowing it to arise only if it feels right for you. And if it doesn't feel right for you, then we'll share next week. To see what's coming up. Is that something that will work for you?
Yeah, I'm going to play with this or work with the possibility of seeing some hope within this heartache. Hope. And,
okay.
Maybe, yeah, moving with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you so much for sharing so much with us today.
Okay. If everyone could unmute, please. Thank you, ladies. Jess, would you facilitate our feedback discussion, please?
Yes. Thank you, Brandy and Olga, for doing that session. And I thought there was a lot that was uncovered and discussed. And in the beginning, I saw two different kind of agendas, one for getting clarity and how to move forward, and another for just dealing with the sadness. And I felt like it went in the direction of finding the direction and the support. So, Olga, you did a great job about asking a lot of clarifying questions of what Brandy was looking for. And she kind of said that she wrote a letter and that she could ask her husband about it later. But then she returned back to the sadness. So I thought it was helpful that one aspect of the agenda kind of got uncovered and then it returned to maybe something more poignant at the moment. And you continued to clarify with her. And I really liked how you had her find it in her body, just bringing her back to the present, the color, the space, the heaviness. And then when you asked that question, how is this serving you? That was so awesome. I thought that that really kind of opened her eyes up to how this feeling, although heavy, is helping. And Brandy said, it's making me look for an opportunity to make a shift, and it's asking me to look towards a different possibility. And so that was kind of changing the perspective. That was that intervention point by that powerful question. And then for the rest of the time, you guys were kind of toggling back and forth between the hope and the fear. And I guess maybe one thing that could have been useful is to just spend more time focusing on the hope. But I think that the hope in itself seems scary. And so you guys kind of went back and forth on that. And you asked her to make a commitment, and she committed to meditating, that she meditates every day, and that she'd look at the other aspect of the journaling. But I thought you guys did a great job kind of moving through the points and dealing with something that is not an easy subject to talk about or I'm sure to coach on or be coached on. So, and you also referenced a follow-up of checking in next week about it. So great job, you guys. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Jess. Some good insight there. Did you feel like Olga was able to use all the five tools of the simple coaching model?
I thought so. I thought, you know, the agenda was pretty clear, and one of the areas was move forward in, and another made some progress, and definitely a perspective shifted. The framing of the session and following up as much as she could, as much as what felt comfortable for Brandy. So, yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Frances or Nicole, would you like to share your thoughts and give the ladies some feedback?
This is for Frances. Thanks, both of you, for sharing and being so open with everything. I agree with Jess. Olga, I loved how you tapped into how she felt and the color and the heaviness and stuff around it. I feel like it just allowed her to go into a deeper space with how she's feeling. I would have been curious to explore more when Brandy was saying that she's talking about finding support for her and her husband together, and I would have been curious to see what that door would have opened. Like, if the question had been posed, what would that support look like? What Brandy would have come up with for that piece. But yeah, all in all, I mean, yeah, it was a super hard subject, and I don't know, it was just a hard subject to coach on for sure.
Thanks, Frances. So would you mind lending your thoughts to, because I'll get into this when it's my turn at the end, but the subject matter was heavy. It was very emotional. How would you have handled it any differently? If you would have handled it differently.
I probably would have stayed with the support piece. Like, I would have asked the question of what does that support look like? and maybe made a plan around that if she came up with some suggestions. It almost felt like the heavy-heartedness was a little too much for her to explore at this moment, and that could have been another piece to move into with the next session if, you know, after some plans had been laid out to move forward, I guess.
Good. So what I'm hearing is to tidy up the call with some tangible, manageable steps that might allow Brandy to stay in action and move forward with her desire to get more support.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Great. Nicole?
Hi. I thought, similar to Jess, I mean, there were definitely two directions to go in. And it was interesting watching Olga toggle between them. I definitely felt like it was going towards the support. And then there was a little bit of feedback and resistance towards the support, in which case I saw Olga flip then to the other agenda, which was the sadness piece, because there was a bit of resistance going down the support path. I had a couple of questions, too. Like Frances, I think I still would have asked a few questions about the support piece because I did think it was interesting that she was saying she didn't need support, but yet she had wanted to communicate with her husband, and yet this letter was written. It was interesting. It definitely, there were two things going on at the same time. So it was a tricky one, I think. I think Olga did a really good job of going into the sadness and shifting the perspective around how it felt. Just like Jess said, I thought that question, how is it serving you? How is the immobilization serving you? Was definitely a beautiful question to ask that made her really think about that in a different way. It was a tricky one. I'm not sure which direction I would have gone, and I think I also, like Frances, might have gone a little bit deeper into the support. But with the resistance, you know, having the tools, I think Olga did a really good job of just trying to get down the path versus coming to so much resistance. So I would have liked to have seen at the end maybe just more of a commitment. I felt that we got to a great place, but then that part wasn't clear to me at the very end exactly what she was committed to. Brandy did say that she was going to meditate, but I felt like it could have been a stronger commitment as to what she was going to leave with and do over the week in terms of actionable goals. So, but it was great. Great overall. I thought it was beautiful and very deep. And thank you so much, Brandy, for being vulnerable for us.
So, Nicole, what question would you have asked Brandy if you were coaching her to, you know, discern what she's going to be doing for the next week to make her accountable and to bring her into action? What would you have asked, or how would you have asked it?
I think I would have asked her to just acknowledge what her commitment was moving forward. Like, what actions are you going to take away from this session, and does that feel doable? And I mean, I think that was kind of asked, but I just didn't feel it very clarified or like it was a strong commitment. So I think I would have just asked that. And then, you know, are you going to be accountable for this?
Great. Thank you. Brandy, how did that feel to you? And let me just preface this by saying that we all realize and understand that you're in a difficult place right now. So if in this moment you're best served by not sharing, I'm sure I'm supported with the others in honoring that. So I'm going to let you decide whether or not you'd like to share.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. Thank you, Olga. Yeah, I threw you a hard topic, that's for sure. And I, you know, felt, you know, that my agenda was definitely this, it was a big piece that I came with. And then I think that, you know, when Olga did ask me, you know, how is this serving you, it sort of really opened up something that I wasn't even realized that this is serving me in any way. It made me definitely have that total shift. And I think that, yeah, it was a limitation of also time that we could have explored a lot more had we had more time. But I really also like the way that it did bring out that, you know, that there a change has to happen, you know, that that is how it's serving me, that there's this change that just has to happen. And realizing that's how it's serving me, that it has to, there's a change. And then having hope that that change will better serve me in the future, whatever that is. And yeah, so it was sweet. Thank you, Olga.
Is there anything that you would have wanted more of from that session?
I think that it could have been interesting to move into the experience of what is hope, you know? So we found out that serving me and that there can be hope. I think that, I don't know if I've used the word or Olga introduced the word of hope, which, like, I had no, it was not in my vocabulary. You know, the only word before was sadness. So then this new word of hope came in. It would have been interesting to explore how I see it as a hopeful change and what that is for me.
And as a client, what are your parameters to broach that subject?
What do you mean, my parameters? What are my
what is your role as a client to honor your agenda? What are some of the permissions you have if there's a place that you want to go in the collaborative conversation?
I could have directed it.
Yeah.
To open that up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as we're all practicing being clients and we're all practicing being coaches. So when you understand both roles, you're going to be an even more powerful coach. Because if you're brainstorming with your client or if you're trying to clarify their agenda or even if you're off on one conversation and they would like to go in a different direction, remember, it's their agenda. And we just learn to navigate smoothly those transitions. And it's at the end of the day, it's all interconnected. So, yeah, definitely don't hesitate to clarify what it is that you want to speak to. Thanks, Brandy. And last but not least, Olga, how was that for you? Olga, are you there?
Sorry, I had you on mute. I beg your pardon.
That's okay. That's okay.
So, thank you, Brandy, again. For a moment, I did want to go towards the support, and then because of the resistance, I said to myself, you know, let me just sit with what she's feeling at this moment, and that's why I went back to the sadness and to see, you know, what was there, and, you know, for her to discover that, and I think that with more time, I would have asked maybe more questions about articulating that sadness, so that, you know, somehow she would be able to share that, you know, with her husband as to what were the feelings underneath that sadness. And so, you know, that was just something that just like in the back of my mind. And you know, time was of the essence. And so it was interesting, you know, the shifting back and forth. And it was a great learning experience for me. And for me, it was just that I felt in my, you know, that energetically that to go towards the sadness, even though I did try to go through, you know, the possibilities of her getting her the support. But I wanted to discover this first and see where it went.
Great. Well, it is a learning experience for all of us. We are at the end of our time. I wanted to share a couple thoughts and go over the homework, but I want to also honor that you might have other commitments. So if you need to go off the call right now, just check in with the last part of the recording or check in with me. We're all putting ourselves in a situation like a beginner's mind, right? And growing and learning from each time. The unique part of this coaching call was that Brandy's agenda, so to speak, was heavy on the emotional side, right? And so it immediately, in my sense, brought up feelings of, not for me, but for the coach and for the listeners, for all of you, like, what do we do with this, right? It's not going to always be a clean, easy, carefree agenda. Brandy showed up in her most authentic self today, and again, it allows us to work with all types of situations. So my encouragement to all of you is to not be resistant to emotion, being attached to any coaching call, because the client will tell you exactly where they need to be. So I agree with a lot of the feedback that was given. I won't reiterate that in the interest of time, but just some feedback points to Olga. Just keep practicing allowing Brandy to come up with her own ideas of what would work. You made some great suggestions, but I'd like to see it come from her by you asking the questions and her coming up with things that will work for her on her own. We talked a little bit about that today. And for all of you, in the beginning, when you're clarifying the agenda, are you saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, or reflecting back, that can be a yes or no question when you're trying to clarify what the client is saying. But outside of that, really continue to work on the powerful questions, because it elicits conversation. It elicits thought-provoking possibilities from your client, where you're not having to pull. They're being able to, you know, manifest that within themselves from those questions. I thought that the change part was too big for her today, that she was clearly feeling this, and I love the somatic experience, absolutely love that. But in terms of some accountability, I think I just would have asked, what feels best to you right now, or what's one step you can take between now and our next call that will, support your agenda, you know, her agenda of having hope or meditating or whatever it is. So those are just some of my thoughts. Any questions?
Thank you.
Comments? You're welcome. You're welcome. You guys are doing great. Okay, so read pages 127 through 131. Review pages 97 through 100. And please take the action challenge in the yoga supplement on page 8. I will miss you guys so much next week. I'll be thinking about you while I'm working on my tan. I mean, in training. So if you need me between now and 2 weeks from now, let me know. Just reach out by email, and I'm accessible. And, I look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Sasha. Safe travels.
You're welcome. Thank you, and thanks for the extra time. Sorry to go over.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
take care, you guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye. Thank you.